We are back. You are tuned into the Hour Power. Our guest for today is Tom Spence, Pastor Tom Spence. His title for today is Faith Stories. Back to you, sir.
All right. About every 3 or 4 years, sometimes it goes to 5. I don't know. I don't always keep up with this in an exact thing, but I tell this story. The story's not out of the Bible, but I tie it to Isaiah 65:24 at the end. Is, you know, I think it's a good representation of that. The story is from a missionary that was sent from England to Zaire decades ago. I mean, she died at the age of 91 in 2016. She'd been around for a while. I've read most of her books. Her name's Dr. Helen Rosevere. And I can say this about her. After reading all the things she went through, I wouldn't wince at all. She called the Marines a bunch of wimps because she went through some stuff that most people just don't go through in the service, her service to God in Africa. So I'm going to tell a story that I might have told here before 4 or 5 years ago. The last time I told it in the worship service, I might have told it on the radio. I don't know. It's been a while. And so here's her story. One night in Central Africa, and this is coming from the person of Dr. Helen Rosevere. I'll be telling it in her voice. I had worked hard to help a mother in the labor ward, but in spite of all that we could do, she died, leaving us with a tiny premature baby and a crying 2-year-old daughter. A student midwife went for the box we had for such babies and for the cotton wool that the baby would be wrapped in. Another went to stoke up the fire and fill a hot water bottle. She came back shortly in distress to tell me that in filling the bottle, it had burst. Rubber perishes easily in tropical climates. "And it was our last hot water bottle," she exclaimed. As in the West, it is no good crying over spilt milk, so in Central Africa, it might be considered no good crying over a burst water bottle. They do not grow on trees, and there are no drugstores down forest pathways. "All right," I said. "Put the baby as near the fire as you safely can. Sleep between the baby and the door to keep it free from drafts. Your job is to keep the baby warm." The following noon, as I did most days, I went to have prayers with many of the orphanage children who chose to gather with me. I gave the youngsters various suggestions of things to pray about and told them about the tiny baby. I explained our problem about keeping the baby warm enough and mentioned the hot water bottle. The baby could so easily die if it got chilled. I also told them about the 2-year-old sister crying because her mother had died. During the prayer time, one 10-year-old girl, Ruth, prayed with a usual blunt consciousness of our African children. "Please, God," she prayed, "send us a water bottle. It'll be no good tomorrow, God. The baby will be dead, so please send it this afternoon." While I gasped inwardly at the audacity of the prayer, she added by way of corollary, "And while you are about it, would you please send a dolly for the little girl so she'll know you really love her?" As often with children's prayers, I was put on the spot. Could I honestly say amen? I just did not believe that God could do this. Oh, yes, I know he can do everything. The Bible says so, but there are limits, aren't there? The only way God could answer this particular prayer would be by sending a parcel from the homeland. I'd been in Africa for almost 4 years at that time, and I had never, ever received a parcel from home. Anyway, if anyone did send a parcel, who would put in a hot water bottle? I lived on the equator. Halfway through the afternoon, while I was teaching in the nurses' training school, a message was sent that there was a car at my front door. By the time I reached home, the car had gone. But there on the veranda was a large 22-pound parcel. I felt tears prickling my eyes. I could not open the parcel alone, so I sent for the orphanage children. Together we pulled off the string, carefully undoing each nut. We folded the paper, taking care not to tear it unduly. Excitement was mounting. Some 30 or 40 pairs of eyes were focused on the large cardboard box. From the top, I lifted out brightly colored knitted jerseys. Eyes sparkled as I gave them out. Then there were the knitted bandages for the leprosy patients, and the children began to look a little bored. Next came a box of mixed raisins and sultanas that would make a nice batch of buns for the weekend. As I put my hand in again, I felt the... Could it really be? I grasped it and pulled it out. Yes, a brand new rubber hot water bottle. I cried. I had not asked God to send it. I had not truly believed that he could. Ruth was in the front row of the children. She rushed forward, crying out, "If God has sent the bottle, he must have sent the dolly, too." Rummaging down to the bottom of the box, she pulled out the small, beautifully dressed dolly. Her eyes showed she had never doubted. Looking up at me, she asked, "Can I go over with you, Mummy, and give this dolly to that little girl so she'll know that Jesus really loves her?" That parcel had been on the way for 5 whole months, packed up by my former Sunday school class, whose leader had heard and obeyed God's prompting to send the hot water bottle even to the equator. One of the girls had put in a dolly for an African child 5 months earlier in answer to the believing prayer of a 10-year-old to bring it that afternoon. "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear." That's the Isaiah 65:24 verse that, you know, in Bird's Flight, we've been studying Genesis, but, you know, it's full of stuff that happened long, long ago. But this is, it seems like a long time ago, but it's not quite a century. It's still decades. It's recent history. It's a story. The story of the water bottle tells us God's still at work. And God does respond to faith. And I think that's the message of both stories is, you know, what will we do when we're put in this situation where we've got to do something and we can only rely on faith? And digging ditches is one thing. You know, you can see that. You say, this isn't going to work. But for a little 10-year-old girl to pray, "God, we need that this afternoon," that's pretty audacious. It's almost as if we were told to boldly approach the throne of grace with confidence. And so I look at these and I think, you know, that's some faith right there, to pray for that so boldly. And here's Dr. Helen Rosevear, who I hold in high esteem for all the stuff she's gone through, for everything that she did, for the, you know, the life that she lived in service to the Lord. And she said, I didn't really believe. And she admitted that she doubted. But Ruth, the child, did not. And sometimes we need to have the faith of that child. And just do as we're called to do. Not related to this or really related to faith, just a little Helen Rosevear story. I was reading one of her books, and she stayed single her whole life. She said, "I thought about having a husband once." Said, "Not for romantic reasons, just it would be handy to have someone to change a tire every now and then." And I thought, okay, that's just too honest for me. You know, I just want someone to change it. I've talked to girls that had husbands that worked in the oil field and had to go different places. I could hardly wait for my husband to get home. I said, "Oh, that's sweet. No, I got a list of stuff for him to do." It's like, okay. So, yeah, there's some understanding there, not necessarily tied to faith, but that's the second. So I only brought two stories today, but so I guess it's your time to talk about faith. Or we'll put Tito on the spot.
You know, this just reminds me of of what we just walked out of with Angel. You know, when I first got guardianship of Angel through the courts, I started getting attacked. And these voices were telling me that I wasn't enough. I didn't have what it took to take care of him. Who did I think I was doing this? Who am I to teach him to pray? And just the list goes on. And at one point, I caved and I began to believe those lies that were being played. And I believed it to the point that I sent him back. And then I got the call from prison through Messenger, Facebook, that I needed to go get Angel before it was too late. And so we went through all that, and I ended up going to this Oklahoma City one night and going into a bad place and got him out, and everything was good. No issues whatsoever. And what got Angel to want to come back when I showed up to take him, I told him, I said, "Well, Buddy Granny's got video games now." And that made him stop for a second. And he looked at me. He looked at his mom. He looked at me. And he asked me, he said, Grandma, he said, do you still go to church? And he was 5 years old. He said, Grandma, do you still go to church? And I said, yeah, buddy. Granny still goes to church. And he looked at his mom and he said, I want to go with Grandma. And so I brought him back. And I began to tell him to pray that God heal his mama, because mama is sick right now. And I know God can heal mama, because grandma was sick just like mama. And granny's better because God helped me get better. And so he began to pray and ask God to heal his mama. And me, Haley, and Angel were in church one day. And the Lord told me, the Lord spoke a word. He said, that baby will be back with his mom. That baby will be back with his mom. And so I grabbed that. And he told me at 10, he told me that Angel would be back with his mom at 10 years old. And it happened. And to sit in a courtroom, the anticipation first of not knowing how it was going to turn out, but hanging on to that word. No, you're not taking this. God said, God, my God said, he will be home at 10. He will. And then to sit there in court yesterday, and the judge asked him, it was so sweet. The judge asked, is he here? And we said, yes, ma'am, he is here. And we gestured to him in the back. And she looked at Angel and said, I remember you. And Angel being Angel, he laughed and nodded. And she asked him, she said, how old are you? He said, I'm 10. And then she asked him, is this what you want? Angel looked at her with his big brown eyes and his sweet smile. And he said, I've been waiting a long time for this. Yes, ma'am, this is what I want. And it was granted. So at the age of 10, as God said, and this is what's so sweet to me, at the age of 10, by 10 o'clock in the morning, the judge ruled that there will be no more guardianship and that he is free to go home with his mama. We didn't even get to the courtroom whenever we were dismissed to go. As soon as all three of us met back there by the court door, we just crumbled and began to thank God. And we thanked God all the way home. And well, I'm still thanking
we
God.
We don't ever want to leave out that Thanksgiving part.
It's just, you know, I know there's some of y'all out there that are tired. And I know that there's some of y'all out there thinking God doesn't hear your prayers because it's just been so long. But I want you to know he hears you. Don't stop. It's on the way. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep praying. Keep believing. Because He is the God who restores. He is the living God who hears.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And yours is not the only testimony to that. Time and time again, and we need to share those more and more because people in this age need to be affirmed that there is one true God. He, you know, said before they call, I will answer. While they're still, you know, talking, I will hear. And it's happening today.
You know, and I'm going to be real honest, Pastor Tom. There was times that I wanted to quit. Three detox centers. Two to three rehabs. Multiple trips to Eastern Oklahoma. Multiple. And every time I wanted to quit, God asked, do you trust me? And I just had to, you know, yes, sir. Even though I didn't, you know, it was rough for a minute. There was times that I wanted to quit.
Yeah, belief, faith, trust, some pretty big words that we just casually bounce around sometimes. But when we think about what it really is to trust God over our own understanding, that's sometimes brings us out of those low moments. So you're admitting you're human, and you had some doubt at some point.
Yes.
It's tough. You know, but you know, it says God tells us even when we're not faithful, He's always faithful.
Yes.
So if He made you a promise, it was conditional upon you checking all these boxes. He made a promise. That's the thing that we have to rest on is God holds true to His promises.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't always do a good job holding true to ours, but God is always faithful. That's what we need to do. Faithful to all generations.
Amen. He is. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Would you like to pray to end this out, sir?
Sure.
Any final words?
Okay.
You want to share about your church stuff again one more time before we sign off?
Oh, just quickly, the walk a block. 8th okay. of July, show up at the Cumberland Presbyterian Church at Burns Flat, 9 o'clock. We'll have enough cold water. You're not going to dehydrate. We'll have lunch for you when you finish, and we'll go out and share good news, and we'll be done by noon. So show up at 9, we'll be done by noon, and we are called to do this, to go into the world. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, this chance to talk about faith, to share testimonies of faith, to put our trust in You, Lord. And my prayer is that those who believe in You trust in You more, and that it becomes easier to set aside our own understanding when it seems different than what You're telling us. And Lord, help us acknowledge You all the way. And when You show us the path, when You direct our path, when You make our path straight, when You tell us where to go, Lord, help us just to take Your path. And Lord, when we go down that path, let us say thank You, let us be grateful, and let us give a testimony to the things You are doing in this world, in this age. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. We did not have Truth Broadcast this week because Pastor Dwight and Pastor Sharon Shepherd have been out of town on a vacation, their anniversary vacation. So, from all of us here in the studio, you have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and you know I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our handsome friend and brother in Christ, Pastor Tom Spence.
Old preacher.
Y'all have a blessed day. We'll see y'all next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.